Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. People love life. Would you agree with that? They do. People love life. In fact, one of my favorite new songs is, well, I like old country. This new country, well, we won't get started on that. But, you know, Loretta Lynn. And she just released a song not long ago. It says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Have you heard that? It's really a great song. If you haven't heard it, it's really fun. Go listen to it. But people love life. And this is a reality statement. We do love life. At least I hope we do. But sometimes we love it in odd ways. In fact, these days, people seek life in many places. They seek life in many places, and sometimes they're unhealthy places. Can you think of an example of where people might seek life today? Any examples? No? What? Climbing a mountain? Okay. Where else? What else? Yes. In Jesus, amen, sermon's done. Thanks. Where else might people seek life today? What about in addiction? In adultery? In lust? Before marriage? During marriage? People find life in gossip. We're all good at that, right? I mean, who doesn't like to have a good conversation about somebody else? But in Texas, it's totally fine as long as you say God bless their heart, okay? Just know that. It covers over a multitude of sins. People seek life in their finances. You know, it's big these days. The more money you have, well, the more life you have. People seek life in their big houses or their fancy cars. People seek life in their own self-esteem and their own desires and their own wishes, following their own pathway that they put together in life. People seek life in Satan. People seek life in false religion. If you look out there, people seek life in many, many ways. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. Because we love life. And we want life to be full. We want life to be happy. We want life to be exciting. We want life to be fulfilling. And so we're going to find any way we can, especially in our sinfulness, to make the life we want happy and glorious. Today, the prophet Amos is calling us to look beyond this world to see a life that is bolder, freer, and more glorious than anything we can imagine. It's really interesting because we as Lutherans, throughout the history of Lutheran doctrine through the Reformation, throughout history, we've been called antinomialist, people who don't believe in the law because we rely so much on grace. The reality is we do believe in the law. It's just that we're smart people and realize, as the prophet is going to show us today, we're not saved by the law. The law plays an important role in our life, an important function in our life. It really does. The law prepares us to see the gospel. The law prepares us to receive Jesus. The law corrects and rebukes us to show us our desperate need for true life, which comes from Jesus. We aren't antinomialists. We aren't against the law. We are truly people of grace. And the beautiful thing that Amos, a prophet of the law, a prophet of the Old Testament, is going to show us today is exactly how beautiful the law is when the law functions properly in our lives. So often today, because of our sinful nature, we seek life in the law. Perhaps one of the greatest things that I see in Christendom is people seeking life by living out the law. And you don't have to think hard to know what I'm talking about. We measure our lives and the lives of others by their sinfulness and our sinfulness. Do we not? I mean, how many times do we say to ourselves, I'm such a bad person, I didn't follow that law, I guess I don't really have a strong faith, or something of that nature. Or we allow shame and guilt to build up in our lives. Or we look at others and say, look at their sin, how bad are they, I'm glad I'm not like them. Because we want to find life in the law, and we think the law is good and holy. We hold each other to the Ten Commandments strictly. How interesting it is As Jesus, you know, it's funny, when Jesus talks about, you know, you're dealing with sin with your brother, what does he say? Worry about the log in your eye before you worry about the speck of dust that is in your brother's eye. But we find life in telling others where they've done wrong. It's so easy to do. We all do it. You've done this wrong. You've done this wrong. Look how you've broken the commandments. And we find life because it builds us up, because we feel holy and just and right. We measure our sins and the sins of others. How often do we hear that today? They can't be forgiven for what they do. You know, the reality is, you know, this is a tough reality for us as Christians to understand, but even people who have murdered people and are in death row can still go to heaven. Do you believe that? Sure, if they come to Christ. Because the reality is, in our world, when we see sin, it's like looking at downtown Dallas or downtown Fort Worth. When we look at those downtown areas, we see different sized buildings, right? And they're different sizes and different landscapes and different heights and all of those things. Well, have you ever flown over a big city? Anybody? Nobody's ever flown over a big city? Wow. What happens when you look down on a big city? Everything looks the same. You can't tell the heights of the buildings. That's how it is when God looks at our sinfulness. Whether you steal a pencil, commit adultery, or it's murder, our sins are equal in God's eyes. And the great news is that they're forgiven in God's eyes just the same through Christ Jesus. But it's so easy for us to find life in this world as we measure sins. Rather than seeking to do good, as Amos says, that's what he says today, seek to do good. We make doing good, living by our own works, measuring our faith, the focus of our life, and it becomes our God. Now listen to this. When we fail to seek doing good, notice he says seek good, and we're going to talk what that good is. But when we fail to seek good and begin to make the focus of our lives doing good, the good works that we do, the righteousness that we live, we begin to make ourselves our own God. Because we place ourselves above God and what he's done for us. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We really too often in our own world today rely on our own sinful logic, our own works, and our own self-righteousness to save us. So one time in this city, there was a flood. It was a great flood, and it kept raining and raining and raining, and there was a man on the roof of a house. And he was up on the roof of the house as the waters came up. And before long, a boat came passing by. And the guy in the boat says, "Come on down in my boat, I'll save you." And the man on the roof raises his hands and he says, "Oh no, 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 I'm a righteous person and I believe in God. I don't need you to save me. My God is going to miraculously rescue me from this roof. That is my plan." And he stayed on the roof, and the water kept rising. A little later on, a helicopter flies over, and they start to lower down, and they said, "Come on, we'll save you from the flood." And the man raises his hands again. He says, "No, no, no, you don't understand. I believe in God, and I have a righteous faith, and I've lived a good life, and it's really about me and my strength. I know that God will save me. He'll miraculously do it." And he stayed on the roof. A little later on, a guy starts floating by on a log. And the guy on the log says, "Hop on down. We'll float on this log together until we get to dry land and you will be saved." And the man courageously raised his hand and said, "No, I'm a good man. I'm a righteous man. I've lived a good life. It's my logic, and I know that God will save me." Unfortunately, the waters came up. The man drowned, and he died. As he stood before God at the pearly gates, he was quite angry. And he said, "God, why did you let me down? I'm perfect. I'm righteous. I believe in you. I trust in you. I did everything right. Why didn't you rescue me?" And God said, "I did try saving you. I gave you a boat, a helicopter, and a log, and you refused them all." How often it is in our lives are we like that? Because of our own righteousness. We want to cling to what we think is right. We want to cling to the things of this world. We want to cling to the law. We want to cling to what we perceive as our perfection. We want to cling to those things around us that make us happy. And what we fail to realize is that happiness and life aren't found in the things of this world. It's not found in our righteousness, because we are not righteous. We fail miserably at keeping the law of God. It only comes when we allow God to do His work in our lives. What is clear from our text today from Amos is that it is not doing good that saves us. I hate to burst your bubble if you think that's the case. I also hate to burst your bubble if you have a grievance against somebody else who's done bad and thinks they're going to hell. Because it's not doing good that saves us, but rather seeking good, which is love. What's interesting in the Hebrew of this text today is that the Hebrew word for good is a reflexive word, and the Hebrew word for good is higher than what we think of as good, because it really is the word for love. And what Amos is saying to God's people, and what he's saying to you and to me, is seek love. Seek love. It's a reflexive love. And what that means is it's the fact that first, God loves us. We've talked about that in the theology of the cross. God loves us. He loves us so much that he came down from heaven in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and made his dwelling with us. He loves us so much that in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, he forgives our sins. He loves us so much that in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, he lived the law perfectly, which you and I cannot do. We cannot live the law perfectly. In fact, Luther says if we break one law, we break them all, especially the first commandment, because we make ourselves our own God. That's how miserable we are. That's how doomed for hell on our own we are. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, he came down into this world and lived the law perfectly for us, so that when he died on that cross, he gave us his righteousness as he took our sin, our shame, and our guilt on himself to destroy it, to disperse it, to pour out unconditional love in our lives so that we can be with God forever. That is what saves us. Seeking good, seeking the love of God, relishing in it, basking in it, celebrating it, allowing God's love to fill our lives and dispel our sin and our shame and our guilt. Amos talks today about maintaining justice. The justice that he talks about is a justice that this world does not know. The justice of a God who is willing to take all the punishment of his people upon himself so that we could be saved from sin, death, and the devil to live with him in heaven forever. That, my friends, is complete and absolute justice. Have you ever thought about going to court and standing up for somebody who's done wrong and taking all the blame? That doesn't even enter our human minds. The concept just seems fruitless. But that's what Jesus has done for you and for me, so that the death penalty no longer affects us, because we will live forever in him. And the other thing that Amos points out is that he will have mercy on his remnant. You see, the remnant are the chosen people of God that are in this world. You and I are that remnant. And he has mercy on us. That means he takes away our punishment. He takes away our guilt. He takes away our sin. He takes away our shame. He takes away our unhealthiness. He takes it all away from us. And in our lives, through the power of word and sacrament, he continues to pour out love and grace and all his wonderful, good, and perfect gifts. In fact, he pours out the entirety of his kingdom for you and for me, because we are his remnant. And the remnant only has one task. Do you know what that task is? To grow the kingdom of God just as you are. Sinful, broken, incomplete, but loved, redeemed, and saved. You see, Amos was preparing the way for the very salvation of the world, God's new covenant. So what does this mean for us today? I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a quote that sums this up quite nicely. He says, being a Christian today is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. When we live by the law, we're so afraid of sinning that sin and the law becomes our focus. Doing good to please ourselves becomes the focus. And what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says is this: you can't do it. If you're living a life that is truly a life that seeks to avoid sin, you are failing miserably. You don't understand the power of God's salvation in your life. Because what life is truly about is actively seeking to do God's will. And what is God's will? We've talked about it before. God's will is perfect love. Being loved to your spouse, to your neighbor, to your friends, to the unbeliever, to the homosexual, to the prisoner, to those caught and trapped in sin. Being love is reaching out with the good word of Jesus Christ. Because the will of God, which he calls us actively to do, is plain and simple. To love people so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess him as Lord and Savior. When we live by the law, the only person doing that is you and I. And it comes from a place of false doctrine and faith. But when we are free and live in the life and the forgiveness and the joy and the gospel and the love of Jesus, actively seeking to do his will, that will which is love, and living in his love, not only do we change, but the world around us changes as the kingdom of God grows magnificently and beautifully so that people will know him as Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen.